On the first day of creation, the wind of God blew. Whoosh, whoosh, swoosh. God said, "Let there be light." Crackle, boom, bang. There was light. God saw that the light was good. Then, split! God divided the light and darkness into day and night. On the second day, God said, "Let there be a sky." Pillow, billow, puff. There was a sky. God saw that the sky was good. On the third day, God said, "Let there be water and dry land." Drip, drop, kerplunk. There was water. Crackle, crunch, snap. There was dry land. God saw that the water and dry land were good. Then God said, "Let there be plants and trees." Rumble, rustle, pop. There were plants and trees. God saw that the plants and trees were good. On the fourth day, God said, "Let there be a sun and a moon and stars." Glimmer, shimmer, shine. There was a sun and a moon and thousands of stars. God saw that the sun and moon and stars were good. On the fifth day, God said, let there be sea animals that swim and birds that fly. Wiggle, splish, splash. There were sea animals. Flutter, putter, tweet. There were birds. God saw that the sea animals and birds were good. Then God said, on the sixth day, God said, let there be animals of every kind on the earth. Growl, prowl, snort. There were animals with fur. Skitter, scatter, creep. There were bugs. Slither, slink, hop. There were reptiles. God saw that the animals and bugs and reptiles were good. Then God said, let there be people on the earth. Blink, wink, go. There were people on the earth. God saw that the people were very good. On the seventh day, God said, it is time to rest. Phew, phew. Ah. God and all of the creation rested. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Thanks be to God.
Well done.
Let us pray together. God, we sing to you this day our praise and our thanksgiving for the great gift of life and of love and of hope. And in this moment, as we pause for a moment to reflect upon the story that our children have so beautifully and delightfully shared with us this morning, I pray that what you wish to communicate might dance among us and land where it needs to land in the ways that you know best. Because or in spite of me today, O God, let your song be sung. Amen. Dum 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 da dum dum da dum. Dum 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 da dum dum da dum. Yes, very well. We could go on, couldn't we? Yes, we could. Let's see. Dun 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 dun. 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 Yes. Well done. Okay, and moving on. New genre. Mm-hmm.
yes, 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 yes. I did that at 9. It wasn't pretty. I was going to say. Dun, dun, da, da, da. What do all those things have in common? Familiar melody. You hear a phrase and sometimes only a few notes, and you know the whole song. It's one of those things that immediately invites us into. Music is one of the most powerful unifying forces around. Certain kinds of music that have rhythm can be heard and felt even across senses. And melodies from across the years continue to resonate and often allow disparate voices to sing together. As we enter into this fall with new opportunities here at Foundry for study and service and engagement, the language of music will provide creative inspiration. These days, musical classics, whether they are pop songs or sonatas, can be remastered so that they sound better than ever. And this year, our guiding theme here at Foundry is Faith Remastered. The idea being that we want to lift up some classics of our faith tradition, key stories and rituals and theology of our faith tradition, of Christianity, to lift them up and to let them ground us and feed us and guide us in fresh new ways. Because friends, these days, there is so much that wants to knock us off course, so much that can distract us. So we pray that throughout the course of this year, this work together, this reflection together, will help be a grounding, inspiring source for the living of these days. Today, we begin with a new sermon series, Composition 101. To compose something is to create something, and to create something requires, usually, having the elements that you need to create it. If you're going to write something, those essential elements include words, sentence structure, punctuation. And with music, of course, the elements include notes and rhythm. And our focus for today, melody and harmony. The melody of a song, many of you will know, but just to make sure we're all on the same page, the melody of a song is a memorable series of pitches. That's what we shared just a few moments ago. A memorable series of pitches. It's commonly called the tune of the song. And harmony are notes that support the melody. We heard that beautifully expressed as we hummed together Amazing Grace. Did you hear all the layers and the levels? It wasn't just the melody, but all of those beautiful harmonies that provided support. Today, our children helped us experience the story of the first composition ever. In Genesis chapter 1, we experience God's voice singing
a brand new song. Out of the chaos of a formless void, God created harmony. Each day, another stanza gets added, day and night, sky, water, and land, sun, moon, and stars, vegetation, animals, and human beings. Like an ancient chant, God calls things into being. There was evening and there was morning, again and again, and it was good. God observed that it was very good. The composition was a new creation. Every day, a new creation. The new creation was interwoven. The new creation was mutually dependent. The new creation was made, created to live in harmony. The new creation was a love song. God's love song, a melody that saturates everything that is seen and unseen. At the beginning of time, the melody of divine creative love was sung and became the first foundation of the world and of our faith. The song of creative love is what we are created to sing in harmony with God, in harmony with one another, in harmony with all the creation. It's not lost on me that as we gather here right now, talking about creation and a loving God, that the people of Houston are reeling from the effects of Hurricane Harvey. And Hurricane Irma has made landfall in Florida after doing extraordinary damage in the islands further south. I want to be very clear that it is because of our story, it is because of what we know of God, it is because of our faith in the love song of God, in the ever-present creative power of God that we here today proclaim that it is not divine punishment that these storms are happening. I've seen a number of people want to make the claim that God is punishing America, and that's why these things are happening. There are all sorts of reasons. Some you might agree with, most you wouldn't. And any of them, I would say, are bad theology. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. In moments of disaster and destruction, we as God's people are called not to look for scapegoats, but rather for opportunities to care and to love and to participate in restoration and renewal. And that's not to say that we can't see and name where wrongdoing has led to harm. Scientists have helped us understand over the years that the Earth has shifted and changed dramatically over thousands of years. We know that this planet is both beautiful and powerful. Natural disasters are nothing new. They are part of the way the creation has evolved over time. Ice and volcano, tectonic shifts, floods and drought, all of this has been part of natural history. Human beings, like all living things, are vulnerable to injury and even death in the wake of powerful elemental forces of this planet. That has always been so. Simply part of the deal for those gifted to live in the beauty of this earth. Just days ago, Anthony and I found ourselves, because of the great generosity of some friends, we found ourselves on a backcountry hiking trail in the Wasatch Mountain Range in northern Utah. And as we hit a particularly rugged point several miles in, with no other humans in sight, the mountains dwarfing us, strange sounds echoing from the woods alongside, and a very dark storm cloud rolling in, Anthony paused and turned to me and said, "We are guests here." There are places in nature, moments, when our human vulnerability and smallness are startlingly clear. And yet, as small as we are in this big world, scientists have also taught us that collectively, human actions are doing great damage to this big, beautiful world. While natural disasters are not new, current data reveals that the rising temperatures in air and water, caused primarily by human activities like burning fossil fuels and clearing land for industrial use and agriculture and more, that these human activities are making what would have already been really bad storms even worse. We were created to live in loving partnership with the earth, to reverence the earth, to know our place in the earth, to tend and to care for the creation of which we are a part. We and the water and the trees and the mountains and the air and earth and animals were meant to sing together in harmony, but our short-sightedness and greed as a human family has and is doing harm. We have to name it. We have to name our own responsibility and do what we can. And of course, it's not only the planet that we've wrecked. Human pride and greed and fear and hate continue to do harm to the bodies and the spirits of other people. Even a brief break, you know, just being off social media for a week and coming back, I was just stunned as I was reminded that the capacity for human cruelty can be breathtaking. Our failure to see beyond our own pain or perspective or need or desire cuts us off as though separated by a vast canyon from those with whom we might share life or a laugh or even love. Our faith calls us to name the harm that we see, to take responsibility for our culpability, and to actively participate in acts of recreating love. Because you see, what we call the creation story in Genesis 1 is only the beginning of the story of creation. Across the ages, things are renewed and recreated and resurrected by the power of love. As I read this story that I have been reading since I was Josie's age and younger, this past week, in preparation for this morning, I was struck afresh. I don't know that I had ever really thought about the fact. In this story, God creates something new every day. On the next day, God created this. And the next day, God created that. And the next day, God did this. And the next day, and do you think it ended after God took a little break? The creation continues just as God created something new day after day. In Genesis 1, God is still at work creating new things every day. Every time we gather in this space for worship, God is at work creating and recreating us
into a community, into a church, into the body of Christ, more closely into whom we are called and created to be every Sunday. I never will forget these words of a godmother to me in the church who used to say that in worship, God takes us in God's hands and she pats us back into shape. She recreates us, reforms us, so that we can go back into the world a little closer to the shape that we were made to embody. God is at work, active, new every morning, active and working to restore and to recall and to recreate and to renew. It is that ongoing, ever-loving, creative power that gives us hope in the midst of storms. Not hope that there won't be any destruction or loss, because we know that that's part of the reality of this world, but rather hope that whatever happens, that God will be with us, that God will be at work to restore and to renew the face of the earth and to mend broken lives and broken hearts. It is God's love, which is, my friends, the source and the power of all creation. It is God's love that gives us hope, even in the most difficult and confusing moments of life. What we see and experience right now is not all there is. It's not all there will ever be. If you are in turmoil, suffering, God's love is with you right now and has the power to bring you through this present suffering into new life. The blatant racism and prejudice and saber rattling that we see being supported by so many in our nation and world in this moment, I believe simply uncovers what has been there all along in more furtive form. And so now that it's out there, some people might now have the capacity to wake up and to respond with love and with justice in a way that before they might not have. God can always use the worst to bring about a greater good, you see. And this is not to say, certainly, that God is making any of this happen so that we might learn our lesson. I am not saying that at all. What I am saying is that when we make a mess, God can make new life. What I am saying is not that we are marching forward on some idealistic, even trajectory toward a kumbaya utopian vision. What I'm saying is that new creation is often born out of a crucible moment, which is very different. Bringing new life, new creation into the world is painful and messy. Amazing strides forward for the cause of love and justice are often met with devastating backlash and retreat into old ways of control and fear. The cases in point on that are too many to enumerate. We think we've made progress, and then look what happens in response. Getting to where God is calling, to that new creation, is a constant daily process, and new every morning. God is with us, alive and at work, God's love, creating and calling and working for the good, for our good. The promise of new creation is not Pollyanna. The promise of new creation is gospel. The first story, the creation story in the Bible, reveals an essential element of our faith. It is the melody that streams through everything. It is the primary building block of our faith. And that is the story of God's desire and God's power to create life out of nothing, to bring life out of death. It is the story of Easter, and it's the story of so many of our lives. When we couldn't see a way through, when you didn't know how you'd do what you had to do, when you were so deep in the shadows that you thought you'd stay lost forever, when you were so hurt or sad or angry that you couldn't imagine ever recovering ease or joy. And then something happened, a faint or forgotten melody emerges. The melody of love, the melody of hope, the melody of a promise of something new. Catholic priest Henry Nouwen once wrote, "Hope means to keep living amid desperation and to keep humming in the darkness." Perhaps in your life, the melody you began to hum in the darkness emerged in the sound of a bird or crickets on a summer night. Perhaps in the image of light through trees or light in another's eyes. Perhaps in the witness of courage or solidarity appearing in an unlikely place. Perhaps the melody emerged in the stubborn love of a parent or a partner or a friend. Perhaps the melody emerged in a piece of art or in the smile or the kindness of a stranger, the sloppy kiss of a dog, or the memory of what matters most of all. Life, death, new life, cross, tomb, resurrection, chaos, creation, harmony. God's creative power is always at work, singing, singing, singing the melody of love. The animals and the rivers and the trees and the plants sing along better than we do most of the time. But the good news is that we are created. We are created to harmonize and to hope and to hum. The good news is that God will carry the tune and us until we're able. Thanks be to God.